Somebody asked me the other day, Pastor, are you driving? Yes. I don't know why you get a clap for that. You know you're not supposed to drive under medication. And somebody says, well, are you preaching under the influence? You better believe it. But it's not the influence of a pill. It's under the influence of the Holy Ghost. Can you say amen? I've not even had to take a Tylenol the last 2 days. Can you say amen? God is good. And all the time, God is good. I give him all the praise. If you have your Bibles, let's stand this morning. We're coming up on a wonderful week. A lot of things going on. My favorite sport's going on. Eating. Who can identify with that? Amen. We had our family's Thanksgiving yesterday, and so we enjoyed that time with them. But I want us to understand that Thanksgiving is not just a time of the year. Thanksgiving is a way of life that we're not only supposed to do when things are going right, but even when things are not going well. Turn with me in your Bibles. We're just going to go ahead and jump in. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. You can't hardly preach a Thanksgiving message without touching on this verse. Because, man, it's short, but, man, it's powerful. In everything, say everything. Everything. Give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Turn to your neighbor and say, this is God's will for your life. To be thankful. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we give you the glory, we give you the honor, we give you the praise. We thank you, Lord, for your presence here in such an awesome way. And Father, you're not here just because we have lifted up our voices. You inhabit the praises of your people. But Lord, you're here not only because of our worship, but Lord, you're here to move and touch and heal and deliver and to release things into people's hearts and lives, to set them free, to move mightily, to bring healing, salvation, and deliverance. And God, we thank you and we praise you for what that is your desire. And so, Lord, we ask that, Lord, nothing in our hearts, my life, or anybody's life, stand in the way, but that we allow you to have your full purpose and plan to be accomplished in this place today. And all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing in honor of the word. As we come to this wonderful time of the year, it's time when we gather with family and friends, when many are preparing for that Thanksgiving dinner, the turkey, the ham, the trimmings. Brother Doss, that's not really good to talk about 11:30. Hello. It'll be a time when we not only sit around the table, but sit around the TV and eat leftover turkey and ham sandwiches and watch football, amen, and spend time with family and friends. But it's also to be a time when we reflect and thank God for all his blessings he's bestowed upon us throughout the year, a time to look back and to remember our history, where God in his providence has brought us from, but what he has also brought us through and where he has brought us to. As we think about this time, we can truly be thankful even though we have faced difficult circumstances and situations. We as born-again believers can still give thanks when times have not been the greatest. Being pastor here as long as we have been and walking through this past year with many of you and your families, for many of you it's been a very difficult year. And you might be facing this season with saying, Brother Doss, I understand all what you're saying, but what is there really to be thankful for? What is there really to be thankful for? Man, we've gone through a lot of difficulties. We've gone through a lot of trials. I want us to see that this scripture here that Paul spoke about in Thessalonians, and we've got to understand it's Paul that's saying for this. He's saying, in everything, give thanks. Boy, it's easy to give thanks when everything's going good, amen? But it's not easy to give thanks when things are not going so good. Can you say amen? Think about how Thanksgiving was established. Think about on the Pilgrims as they landed at Plymouth Rock on December 11th, 1620. Their first winter was devastating. By the time fall came, they had lost 46 of the original 102 that sailed with them from England. One writer commented, they said, they dug 7 more graves than they built houses that first year. They dug 7 more graves than they built houses that first year. They came for the most part seeking religious freedom so they would be able to worship God in spirit and in truth and be free from religious persecution. But they faced tremendously difficult times. Don't you know they must have asked themselves, have we made a mistake? Have we failed somewhere? Did we make the right decision? When they land and everything seems to be going the other way. But thank God the Indians came and helped them and assisted them and helped them to make it through and showed them how to plant crops in the new land. And the harvest of 1621 was a very bountiful one. And instead of complaining about all that they had suffered and all that they had lost, they chose to declare a time of thanksgiving. 56 pilgrims and 91 Indians joined together for a Thanksgiving celebration that lasted 3 days. Can you imagine that? We get stressed out over a meal. This thing went on for 3 days. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Can you imagine what all the food they must have had? They joined together for a Thanksgiving celebration. Had a menu that included duck, geese, venison, fish, berries, dried fruit, lobsters, watercress, and plums. They gave thanks in spite of their difficulties. They could have very well said, well, what do we have to be thankful for? But instead, their focus was not on what they had lost and not on what they had suffered, but rather on the grace and the love of God that had brought them through and helped them overcome tremendous hardships and sufferings. I want to tell you something. We are sitting here today because of the Thanksgiving and what those pilgrims went through on that day, seeking that religious freedom. You and I have the freedom to sit here today and worship God in spirit and in truth and feel His presence in such a wonderful way simply because a group of folks left England seeking to God, worship God in spirit and in truth. Can you say amen? But they went through some difficult times. Can you say amen? What's there to be thankful for? How about us today? When we are faced with difficulties, when we are faced with hardships, do we focus more on the circumstance that we are facing or have come through? Or do we focus more on the Lord God and His goodness, that who is greater than our circumstances? You know, I thank God for this great country that we live in today. I wouldn't want to live anywhere else. We have so many things that we are blessed with to be able to live in this land. But everything's not perfect. Our nation is facing some very difficult and dark days. Even though our nation and economy seem to be headed in a much better direction, the political, religious, and racial divides are staggering. The moral fiber of our nation is being torn apart by addictions to things like pornography, drugs, alcohol. Liberal forces in Hollywood and government and media and social media are helping tear the moral fiber down in our nation and are trying to establish new social norms. I was reading an article in Bloomberg. And it said, according to the U.S. Census, the number of folks that are getting married from the age of 18 to 34 is less than half than it was 10 years ago. I'm just sharing what's in the article. I'm not passing judgment. And those of the age from 18 to 24 to 25, the number of those who are getting married is 7%. But the same number of that same group that is cohabitating instead of marriage is almost 10%, according to the U.S. Census. It's not so much that the liberal media and Hollywood and our lack of standards is pushing same-sex marriages and alternative lifestyle and transgender, but it's affecting the very heart of the family, of marriage between one man and one woman. Not just going, y'all done got quiet on me today. That's going on in our nation. Common human decency and respect for others has been thrown out the window because people feel they have the right to voice their opinion and views and let their voice have a platform on social media and other areas without any care or reference of what they type. I call them keyboard commandos. And what the ramifications are. Storms, floods, and fires are devastating many parts of our nation, some of which have hit very close to home, some of which are still having a tremendous effect. Can you just imagine, with all the things going right in our nation, this greatest nation we are on earth, we've got problems. We could easily say, well, what's there to be thankful for? We have a lot. We're facing some difficulties. Let's bring it on down home. Are y'all with me this morning? We're going to turn it around. Church and I'm glad he turned it around just a little bit. You personally may be asking that question because you've been through a very difficult time. This year has not been the best for you. This year has been very difficult for you personally or your family through the loss of a loved one, family struggles, job situations, health issues, care of loved ones, financial crises. And as you face this Thanksgiving, you say, what really is there to be thankful for? In the difficulties that I faced, I want to tell you, if you will learn and I will learn to offer up the sacrifice of thanksgiving, God will release something powerful and personal in your life that can literally change your circumstance and change your situation. Not so much out here, but especially in here. What is the solution? What is the solution? Is there a remedy? What is the answer that will help us to asking the question, what is there to be thankful for? To go into, I do have some things I can be thankful for. See, because the scripture tells us in everything, give thanks. For this is God's will, and that's God's will for everybody. Many of us have different callings and different giftings and different abilities, but for everybody, God's will for all of us is to give thanks. And not just in some things, but what? In everything. Can you say amen? What a solution that will help us as we face these difficult times. Thanksgiving. Psalms chapter 107 verse 21 and 22 says, "Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing." Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and his wonderful works to the children of men. Again, it's not a holiday, but rather an attitude, a mindset of thanksgiving. What does the word of God tell us about this? Philippians, one of my favorite scriptures is this, Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. And I just want to say this, do not shut me out today. Do not shut this word out today. Because God, I felt it as soon as I walked in here this morning. I felt it when I was in preparation. I felt it when I was sitting right there yesterday praying for over an hour about this service, that God wants to release a new birth in you. He wants to release a new joy. He wants to release a new hope. He wants to release a new peace in you. He wants to release a new vision in you. He wants to release something fresh in your spirit to get you beyond where you've been and where you're at, if you will just hearken to his voice today. What does the word of God say about this? Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Not to be, he tells us not to be anxious, not to be fearful. Not, the word anxious means to be worried, fearful, fretful. But in every, bring everything to the Lord in prayer. Prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Prayer puts us in contact with God. Our request and supplication expresses our reliance upon God. And thanksgiving expresses our complete faith and trust that God will work everything out somehow, some way, somewhere in his time. That's what we're being thankful. We're not thankful for what we're going through, but we're thankful to the God who's going to bring us through. Can you say amen? The pilgrims were not thankful that they had lost 46 of their loved ones, of their children, of their husbands and their wives, but they were thankful that there were still over half of them still there, and they were prospering. They were making a way in the land where God told them to go. Can you say amen? They were thankful to a God that brought them through. Thanksgiving gets our focus off our hardship or circumstance and our doubt and despair, and it gets it on the Lord who is greater than our circumstance. And with thanksgiving comes the promise again in verse 7. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, shall guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Friends, the world is looking for a lot of things. They're looking for peace, but true peace can only be found in one place, in God. Again, is this for everyone? Yes. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. God's will is for us to give thanks in everything, not for our hard times or our difficulties, but rather that somehow, some way, God is going to bring us through. How? I don't know. When? I don't know. But I'm trusting that he is. Can you say amen? Because his word is true. Colossians chapter 3, verse 15 says this. See, thanksgiving has to be associated with prayer. He says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you were also called in one body, and be thankful. That's not an option. That's be thankful. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. And if anybody could understand about hard times and difficulties and persecutions and difficult situations, it was Paul. But Paul is giving us an answer. He's giving us the view of how to come through it. It's with prayer and what? Thanksgiving. How many of you know Paul made it through? And if it can work for Paul, it'll work for you and I. Can you say amen? But continuing in prayer. Well, God doesn't hear my prayer. I want to give up. Don't give up. Just keep praying. But put thanksgiving with it. Can you say amen? Thanksgiving needs to be a way of life. A couple of quick examples. You've heard me use these before. Jesus' friend, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, he'd go hang out at their house. But Lazarus fell sick and died, and Jesus waited 4 days before he went to check things out. And when he walked up on the situation, he saw all the mourners and he realized what had happened, but Jesus, fully God, fully man. The Bible gives us the shortest passage in the scripture that says this, two words, Jesus wept because he was moved with compassion. And he says, show me where you've laid him. And they walked him up to the tomb. And he says, roll back the stone. And Martha said, Lord, It's been 4 days. He stinks by now. He said, didn't I tell you if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? And we rolled back that stone. And instead of Jesus still weeping, instead of Jesus still crying, instead of Jesus still mourning and saying, oh, Father, he's dead, the first words out of his mouth was this: Father, I thank you. Do what? How would you feel like that if your family, your loved one was laying in the grave and the man that you hope to, you can go ahead and put that scripture up there, Emily, John chapter. Father, I thank you that you have heard me. He approaches an impossible situation. He approaches a man that has been dead 4 days, that his body has already started the decomposition process. He approaches an impossible situation, but he approaches it with thanksgiving. Can you say amen? Amen. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me, and I know that you always hear me, but because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me. Now when he said these things, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. He said, Lord, because of those that were standing by, I said this. What did he say? Father, I thank you. He approached it with thanksgiving. Not because of the sadness, not because of the heartache, but because he knew that God was greater than the circumstance, that God was greater than the situation, that God was greater than the grief, that God was greater than the pain. And he said, God, I know that you're greater than all this. And because of those who are standing by, I said that so they could see your glory, Father. Can you say amen? Amen. Paul and Silas beat, thrown in the inner prison, shackled, bleeding, hurting, all because they delivered somebody from a demon. Acts chapter 16, verse 25, I've got to hurry. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundation of the prison was shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were loosed. They're beat, they're bloody, they're hurting. All they've done is preach the gospel. All they've done is try to lead people to Jesus. All they've done is healed the sick. All they've done is ministered and cast out demons. But where does it wind them up? But instead of complaining, instead of fussing, instead of saying, oh God, why am I going through this? They are praying and singing hymns at midnight. Now, Jewish scholars and Bible theologians saying the hymns that they were singing was somewhere between Psalms 113 and 118, Psalm 118, also known as the Great Hallel, which is the book of Psalms of thanksgiving and praise. But right in the middle of the Great Hallel, in chapter 116 of Psalms, this is what it says. I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving, and I will call upon the name of the Lord. In the midst of their pain, in the midst of their suffering, in the midst of what they were going through, they said, God, I am going to offer up the sacrifice of thanksgiving. I don't feel like it. I don't feel any doodads. I don't feel the Holy Ghost. I am hurting in my body from the abuse I have taken, but God, I'm still not going to back down. I'm going to offer up the sacrifice of thanksgiving, and I'm going to call upon your name. And as they're doing that, all of a sudden things begin to shake. All of a sudden everybody's chains come off. Not just there, but everybody's chains come off. All of a sudden the doors fly open and everybody's set free. Can you say amen? Why? Because somebody in the midst of the darkest hour is giving up a sacrifice of thanksgiving. Can you say amen? Now I know those are extreme conditions, but listen to me. It's kind of like Prego spaghetti sauce. They're in there. Right. What is a lesson that we could learn? There's power in thanksgiving. I can go all through the scriptures. Jonah on the run from God, getting thrown over, swallowed in the belly of that well. He didn't come out of that well till he began to be thankful. And all of a sudden, that might have trimmed up all the turkey and stuff a while ago. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, "Oh, King, we're not going to bow down. Our God is able to deliver us, but if he don't, we're still not going to worship." Oh, they're still giving thanks to God. And they came out of that fiery furnace, Daniel in the lion's den. My God has sent an angel and shut the lion's mouth. Thanksgiving. Can you say amen? Thanksgiving releases. Thanksgiving releases something in our hearts and our lives and our circumstances and situations that literally moves the heart and the hand of God in circumstances and situations. Psalms chapter 100, verse 4 and 5. Are y'all still with me? Amen. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and his truth endures to all generations. We enter into his gates. His gates is the outer reference. That's where we begin to enter in. But we don't enter in with complaining. We don't enter in with murmuring. We don't enter in with grumbling. We enter in with thanksgiving. And when we do, we can begin to experience the fullness of his goodness, mercy, grace, and truth through thanksgiving. See, you can't get into his courts. You can't get into his courts till you first come through the gates. You can't get into the courts of his praise, of his presence and his power and his anointing till you first come through the gates with thanksgiving in your heart and on your lips. But when we do, we can begin to experience the fullness of his goodness, mercy, even in the midst of difficulty. Why is there reason to give thanks? Three reasons to give thanks in difficult situations. That was all my introduction. But this ain't going to take long. It's found in Psalms chapter 100, verse 5. And I like how the ESV puts it. The New King James says, "For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations," and that's very accurate. But the ESV version is just as accurate. "For the Lord is good, his steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations." First reason, why can I give thanks? What's there to give thanks for? The psalmist declares, because God is good. Oh, we can be here all day and talking about the goodness of God. I thank him for his salvation. I thank him for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I thank him for all the blessings. I thank him for this healing. I thank you for his strength. I thank him for answers and prayer. But the psalmist is telling us here that we are not just to praise him for what he does, but to praise him for who he is. Give thanks unto the Lord because he is good. It's not, again, so much for what he does, but for who he is. We do it so much, we take it for granted. We say, God is good, and all the time. But the fact is, that's one of the greatest truths about God. God is good all the time. Even when we're not, even when we're slack, even when we're fail, God is still good. Can you say amen? And he's been good to you and to me, even in the difficulties, even in the trials, even in the heartaches, even in the pain. God's still been good because he's never left you and he's never forsaken you. He's never turned away from you. Can you say amen? One reason you can be thankful for God is good. Number two, said his mercy is from everlasting. ESV says his steadfast love, which means the same thing as his mercy, it endures forever. In theory, the meaning of love has not changed. Webster still defines this as a strong affection or attachment or devotion to a person or persons. Yet in practice, our definition has radically changed. Whereas love always embraced the concept of devotion, today love has become a synonym for pleasure. Love used to be about the other person and centered on the other person. Now it has become self-centered. We tend to commit ourselves in relationships as long as it remains convenient for us or to our benefit. But at the first sign of trouble or disagreement, we're on our way seeking the greener grass on the other side of the fence. Pastor was performing a wedding one time, and he turned to the groom and he said, "Do you take her for better, for worse, for richer, for poor, for sickness or in health?" And the woman, the bride stopped and said, "Wait, sir, pastor, please stop. You're going to talk him out of this." See, we're too easily talked out of something. See, today the word of love seems to be defined for a set time, for a specific reason, and for self-interest. Somewhere along the way, we have lost the significance of what love really is. The psalmist declared, "Give thanks to him and praise his name, for the Lord is good and his love endures forever." God's love is not like the weather. It's not fair one day and stormy the next. It's never uncertain, nor does it change with the seasons. Richard Halverson, I love how he put this. "There's nothing you can do to make God love you more, but there's nothing you can do to make God love you less. His love is unconditional. His love is impartial. His love is everlasting. His love is infinite. His love is perfect. His love is always true." That's why the psalmist declared, "For the Lord is good and the steadfast love endures forever." Even though you may have been through a dark time, even though you may be going through a dark time, I just want to encourage you. God is good and he loves you. He loves you. He loves you. He is moved. He's touched with the feeling of our infirmities. But he wants to come alongside and minister his healing, minister his love, minister his grace, minister his peace in the midst of your storm. Well, why did he allow it to happen? God never promised to keep us from the storms or from the hurt or from the pain. But through his love and his mercy and his grace, he will keep us through it. Can you say amen? And sometimes that's the only thing we can hold on to. Can you say amen? Number three. "For the Lord is good, his steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations." His faithfulness never ends. Jeremiah said in Lamentations chapter 3, verse 21, "This I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope." Some of us need to recall this to our mind. "Through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. God is faithful when? Always. He's always been, he always is, and always will be faithful. Paul, talking to young Timothy, said this: "If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself." That word faithless, even when we have allowed our faith to wane, even when we have allowed our faith to slip, even when we have made missteps and mistakes along the way, even when we've allowed discouragement to rob our joy and our peace and our relationship with him, if we've become faithless, he remains faithful. He's faithful enough to keep loving you in spite of your pain. He's faithful enough to keep loving you in spite of your missteps. He's faithful enough to keep loving you in spite of the circumstances and situation, because he sees something better for you ahead than what you're seeing for yourself right now. And God's faithful enough to bring you through if you'll hold on to his faithfulness. Oh, he's faithful. He's faithful when we become faithless. What's the reason to be thankful? Because God is good. His love endures to all generations, and his faithfulness never ends. Headed for the altar. And I'm going to encourage you right now. Don't be distracted. because God wants to bring some healing right now. God wants to bring some deliverance right now. God wants to bring some peace right now. Not through Brother Doss, but through him. Through his goodness, through his mercy, and through his faithfulness. Are you going through a hard time right now? There are some things that you can be thankful for if you just would. For a moment, get your eyes off your hardships. Get your eyes off the heartache that you've gone through this past year. I know it's difficult. I've walked with many families through this time. I've stood on this platform 12 times this year, ministering to families that have lost loved ones. But I want to tell you, even in the midst of the lost and the hurt and the pain, God is still good. God is still loving. God is still faithful. In the situations you're going through or have gone through in your family, God has been faithful. In the situations when you're caring for your loved ones, God is faithful. For a moment, just get your eyes off your hardship and offer up thanksgiving to the Lord. Could it be you could face your circumstance in a brand new light? Can I tell you, if it worked for the pilgrims, if it worked for Jesus and it worked for Paul and Silas, it will work for you and I, offering up the sacrifice of thanksgiving to the Lord. It may not keep you from the difficulties, but I guarantee with God's grace, thanksgiving will keep you through. Would you stand with us? Please don't be distracted.